WFSU-FM now presents a delayed broadcast of the August 1st, 2013 luncheon meeting of the Capital Tiger Bay Club. This program was recorded at the University Center Club at Florida State University. Now, here's Capital Tiger Bay Club President Laurie Walker.
Good afternoon, Capital Tiger Bay. How is everybody on this beautiful August 1st? I bet you're all wondering, why are we over here at the University Center Club instead of at the Civic Center? Apparently, the Civic Center is undergoing major refurbishing. I know you're thinking extreme makeover. Think they're vacuuming one of the meeting halls. That's pretty much it. Before we get going, I do have some housekeeping items. I want to remind you that our next program is August 21st. With Congressman Sutherland, who will be here, and that will be at the Civic Center, newly refurbished. On October 17th, we have Tiger at Bay. Should be an exciting program. And on December 5th is our holiday party, and that's always a lot of fun, and we will have the laughing stock for that. I also wanted to remind you, if you have a parking pass, please have it validated by Jeff before you leave. And there are a few brownies left. So those of you who want the special brownies, you better hurry up and get them. You know, this time of year, it's traditional for us to acknowledge those in our audience who are running for public office. So if you're running for office, please stand up, state your name, the office you're running for, and whether or not Representative Alan Williams lives in your district. Seriously, is anybody here who's running for public office and would like to be acknowledged on my right? Anyone? In the middle?
Sure.
Okay.
Gil Sucker running for the Tallahassee City Commission, and I don't know where I'm.
Thanks, Gil. And to my left, any public servants? Okay, great. Well, I am thrilled that we have such a large crowd here today. At first, I thought many of you would be over at the Capitol supporting the Dream Defenders. But then I remembered, oh, y'all have jobs. Yeah. There's not much progress in those negotiations. Governor Scott has said he will not call a special session, and the protesters have rejected his offer to shave his head in solidarity. I mean, it was a good gesture. The protesters are also upset because they can't get pizza delivery to the governor's office at all hours of the night. But the Capitol Police are standing their ground on this one. Just a note about Capital Tiger Bay's position on this issue. We have taken an official position. All of the leftovers from today's lunch will be delivered to the Capitol. Don't you think that's the least we could do? And you know, we do like to do the least we can do. Apparently Jesse Jackson was in town briefly to support the Dream Defenders. But when he heard that O.J. Simpson had been paroled, he cut out. Oh, come on, y'all could do better than that? Thank you. It's interesting, though, to see some of the support the defenders have attracted. Big name entertainers like Stevie Wonder have said they will not be seen in Florida until this is resolved. Of course, the only way Stevie Wonder would know whether he's in Florida or not is if he hears the drug dogs barking. Oh, man, it's a tough crowd. In sports, the Florida Gators have released official photos of their starting lineup for this season. The lineup features full face, left profile, right profile, and distinguishing marks like tattoos, scars, and that's just for the coaches. In national news, Florida's most famous neighborhood watchman, George Zimmerman, was stopped for speeding in Texas last weekend. In the dash cam video of the stop, the police officers heard asking the newly exonerated Mr. Zimmerman, "Is that a loaded firearm in your pants, boy? Or are you just glad to see me?" Then they both laughed and Zimmerman said, "I get it. You're making an Anthony Weiner joke." Poor Anthony Weiner, disgraced former congressman and now candidate for mayor of New York. I say disgraced, but we're talking about politicians here. They've got about as much shame as lawyers. No offense to our distinguished panel today. Despite calls for him to withdraw from the race, Weiner insists he will not pull out. This is just too easy, you know? He just makes it too easy. Unlike another famous politician, when Weiner looks into the camera and says, "I did not have sex with that woman," he's actually telling the truth. Poor guy. Did he learn nothing from Bill Clinton? I mean, if you're gonna do the time, at least do the crime. If he loses the mayor's race in New York, he can always run for office in Missouri, the show me state. Okay, that's it, that's all I got. All right. All right, for today's program, we have a very compelling program for you today. And remember, we are taking a straw poll on this issue. So before you leave out in the vestibule, please cast your vote. One vote per person. Of course, you know, we're so authentic. We'll be counting all of that and checking your handwriting. Joining me at the head table are Capital Tiger Bay members who each have a very unique perspective on today's topic. To my far right, Casey Cook, a member of the Florida League of Cities legislative team. As you can see, he's pretty fresh-faced. He actually believes all that crap he learned in DARE. Don Hinkle of Hinkle and Foran, attorneys at law. Don can't wait for marijuana to become legal. If tobacco is any indication, Don and his fellow trial lawyers are set to make millions. To my far right, Jeff Ryan on the Tiger Bay board, who accompanied Capital Tiger Bay's official drug sniffing dog, Darby Rose, to today's meeting. Jeff highlights as a narcotics officer, NARC as we like to call him. Darby Rose will be available for photos after the luncheon, and if Darby Rose alerted any of you, which I saw she did, you're in luck. Sheriff Campbell is not at the meeting today. And next to Jeff, Dr. Jack Holland. He is now retired from medicine, but he did come prepared today with his prescription pad in the event this medical marijuana issue does grow legs. And next to Dr. Holland is Warren Jones, Vice President and Chief Communications Officer for Tallahassee Memorial Healthcare. Before he joined the hospital's leadership team, Warren told me he worked in a magic kingdom outside Orlando with a large mouse named Mickey, and he had lunch with a princess in a castle, and he took breaks at a haunted mansion. I think Warren might have gotten into the speaker's special stash. Whatever you say, Warren. And now, to introduce our guest speaker, Capital Tiger Bay President in Waiting, Steve Berman.
It's kind of a shame, folks, that we're all not high right now because we would have enjoyed the jokes so much more. What is the difference between a good lawyer and a great lawyer? A good lawyer knows the law. A great lawyer knows the judge. J. John Morgan has a former governor on his staff. John and his family reside in Central Florida, which we all have recently learned is the cutting edge of legal theory and practice in our state. John is a Bull Gator, having graduated from undergrad and law school from the University of Florida. Don, we need to make sure this entire area is cleansed by fire. John built a small firm into a multi-state power law firm. He even wrote a book about it. You can't teach hungry, creating the multi-million dollar law firm. He is rumored to be working on a second volume, How to Keep Your Children from Screwing Up a Multi-Million Dollar Law Firm. Some of you know that I represent the insurance industry. John and his friends inspire such fear in our group that I recently attended a industry event, and I mentioned that I was sitting next to Mr. Morgan, and I was issued a pistol, a copy of Florida Stand Your Ground Law, and a note saying that if they had a butter knife, shoot to kill. John is here today to talk about his latest passion project, the legalization of marijuana. Some of you may have smoked marijuana in the past. Some of you may have grounded your kids for smoking your marijuana in the past. Marijuana has a number of street names. Mary Jane, Chronic, Kush, Dr. Fill My Pipe, and President Obama. Yes, we can, Nubus. Ooh. Some have been quoted saying that the legalization of marijuana is a way to drive Democratic voters to the polls in 2014 to defeat Governor Scott. While others say the only way Governor Scott can win is if the entire state of Florida is stoned. Legalization of marijuana is a complicated issue. Some call it a gateway drug, while others cite its many medicinal benefits. I have even been helped. Years ago, I suffered from anorexia. But look at me now. Thanks, John. Thank you very much. Please give John Morgan a big round of applause. And I think you'll all agree, he looks better in person than on a Taltran bus. I've also included a few snacks for his travel back, grape soda, a bag of chips, and a Slim Jim. Thank you very much, and a big round of applause for John Morgan.
Well, I'm glad to be in Tallahassee and see so many old friends. I hope you will excuse me when I get something out of my system. You see, anytime I'm before a microphone, I have an uncontrolled urge to say, if you've been injured in an accident, hurt on the job, or feel like Rick Scott is screwing you over, call Morgan & Morgan, fighting for the people. I send greetings here from my law partner, Charlie Crist, who cannot be here today, but he did want me to say hello to my old friend from Blue Key Days, Dave Micah, and to thank Dave for starting the Republicans for Crist organization here in Tallahassee. I know it's not out yet, Dave, but the... But if you're a Republican for Crist and see Dave Micah, he's collecting checks and pack checks, I think, in October, Dave. Oil industry, you understand, tobacco. hedging his bets. So, and I'm happy to see my old law partner, who looks better than he did when he was with Morgan Morgan, is Jeff Kottkamp, who was our lieutenant governor and great friend of me. So, I feel like I've been asked a bunch of questions about this whole issue, and so I thought that I would frame this little talk in the basically the four questions that I keep getting asked. Why medical marijuana? Why does it work? Why me? And why a constitutional amendment? So here's the first question. Why medical marijuana? Look, we know, everybody in this room basically knows, I don't know if the doctor would agree with me or not, but the short story is medical marijuana, for medicinal purposes, it works. It just works. And it works for the people who need it most. So far, big pharma and pharmaceutical companies have not been able to figure out a way to harness marijuana and to make it into a synthetic. But we know from clinical tests everywhere that medical marijuana works. And most importantly, it works for the people who need it most. It works for the chronically ill. It works for the ALS patient. It works for the person who's suffering with multiple sclerosis. It works for the person with epilepsy. It works for the chronically ill. I don't know if anybody in here has ever had the misfortune of having cancer, having radiation, having chemotherapy. My brother did, and I will tell you this, when you watch it, it is brutal. There is no drug in America that cures nausea for chemotherapy. They say there is, but there's not. When I walked in here today, a woman from the Breast Cancer Association handed me a gift, which was 100 signatures for our initiative. Women who've had breast cancer and who've had radiation and chemotherapy and see their lives flashing before them and are in unbelievable pain and have used medical marijuana, they know it works. And that's why they're collecting signatures for us. Look, the whole issue is, are we gonna do what's right? Or are we gonna get hung up in this word drug? It's a drug. We have to, at some point, get past that. Right now, in this state, we do have a drug problem, a prescription drug problem. It's called OxyContin. It's called oxycodone. 16,000 people die a year from this. Hundreds of thousands of people are hooked on OxyContin. Even our beloved Rush Limbaugh. Could not get unhooked from his OxyContin and was criminally charged. OxyContin is a poisonous narcotic that kills people and ruins people's lives. And we have a plant put into nature, by nature or by God, depending on your belief, that works. Now look, as I've been on this journey, there's been a lot of things I've learned. And when we first started this project, before we got our language for the initiative, we did a lot of focus groups. Because before I ventured out and started to spend this money, I wanted to find out what it is that Florida would vote for and what we would accept and what we would reject. And so we've done our polling, but then we did some focus groups. What the focus groups told us was this. In a nutshell, in a short story, is Florida does not want to be California. The medical marijuana that goes on out in California is kind of a wink and a grin, and everybody gets marijuana, and they're selling it on the beach. Instead of food trucks, they got medical marijuana trucks. I felt like Marco Rubio reaching over there. But we don't want to be California. What our focus groups told us is this: here's what we want. We want it for the people who need it, who really need it. We want it for that breast cancer patient. We want it for that bone cancer patient where the pain is so darn ridiculous, and this is their only relief. We want it for that quadriplegic patient who's had spasms and their legs are jumping out of their system, like my brother who's 55 and eats Xanax like sweet tarts and it doesn't do anything for him. We want it for that patient, that ALS patient, who had the Department of Agriculture come down and storm her house with 35, I don't know if they're policemen in the Ag Department, but because she was trying to get relief, basically going to end her life as a head on a pillow. And they broke into her house and arrested her and her husband for those people. What we know and what we need to do is we need to have this thing regulated for those who need it most by the state. And whatever the opposite, people ask me, what is it going to be? I said, whatever the opposite of California is, that's what we see us being when we win this thing. I will tell you this, what goes on right now, and I've received thousands and thousands of emails and letters. What's going on right now in this state is this: people, good people, law-abiding people, have families they love. And they have brothers and sisters and fathers and grandfathers that they love who are terminally and critically ill. I have a lawyer, young lawyer, called me. He said, I just want to introduce myself to you. He goes, my mother has multiple sclerosis and she lives in Tampa. And the only thing that I can do to get her any kind of relief is marijuana. And he drives as a licensed lawyer to buy illegal marijuana. He puts everything he's got, his career, his family, his future, his freedom, at risk to go buy a bag of marijuana so his mother won't suffer. That's wrong. That's just wrong. The emails and letters come in from ever and ever and ever and from all over. What I'm talking about doing here with y'all is really not so much a law, but an act of compassion. If our dogs had cancer and were suffering, and we could give our dog or cat marijuana that made them feel good, we'd do it for every dog and cat we got. But we won't do it for ourselves. So right now, we know this. One thing we know for certain, and I may not be around for it, and some of you may not be around for it, but we know that one day, whether it's next year or 2 years or 4 years, it's going to be legal to have medical marijuana in Florida. And so my first point to my first question is, if it's going to be sometime, let's don't let the thousands of people who are suffering now and the hundreds of thousands who are going to suffer later, let's do it now this year or next year. The next question is, and people ask me all the time, and I'm not a doctor. Sound like a song. I'm not a doctor. Sharky, you need a Buffett write that song. Why does it work? All I know is this. I know it works because I have seen it. I have seen it firsthand. Years ago, I couldn't believe how long it was until I started doing the math on it, but years ago, my dad had two serious illnesses. He had esophageal cancer, and he had COPD, emphysema. And both of those are very bad, and the deaths are very painful. The end of life becomes hard to watch. My brother Tim, who I told you about, who got hurt and paralyzed when he was 19 years old or 18 years old, has been paralyzed his whole life, and is why I became a lawyer, and personal injury lawyer. That's all I've ever done as a result of his injury and what I thought was unfairly done to him. Was been paralyzed, and to make add injury to insult, a few years ago he had head and neck cancer. Head and neck cancer is a brutal form of cancer. In both those cases, I have seen firsthand my family really, really sick and really, really hurting and in a lot of pain. If you've ever had nausea, I mean, is there anything worse? And I saw my brother Tim, for my dad, go out and get marijuana for my dad, who was in terrible shape. And by the way, we grew up never touching marijuana or drugs. And the reason we did is we didn't want to, that daddy would be so upset if we used drugs. He was the most anti-drug guy in the world. And the reason I never did it at the University of Florida, even though Micah was selling it, and I the only reason I never did it was because I didn't want to disappoint my dad. It wasn't because I was worried about marijuana. I didn't want to disappoint my dad. And then here we are years later, and we're saying, Daddy, you know, this may help you. And he's like, I don't want to do a drug. We're like, you know, you've been smoking cigarettes for, you know, since you were 11. You've been doing drugs. I'm gonna break it to you now. And he did it. And all of a sudden the nausea was gone. And the anxiety was gone. And his mood was different. And he had an appetite. And he was himself. He got to sit at the table and have a meal and a conversation. And he ultimately passed away, but he got to pass away not in distress, but with dignity and with compassion. I don't know why it works. The reason I'm a lawyer is because I failed every science and math class I ever took in my life. Political science was the only route for me. I can memorize a body of work, take the test, get an A, and then forget everything I've done 2 hours later. So I did go into political science for a reason, but I just know this, it works, and I've seen it over and over again. Some people say, why does water quench thirst? I don't know. It just does. It just does. And if you were thirsty, and dying of thirst, like me and Marco Rubio, you would never reach over and grab a handful of tequila to quench your thirst. You grab a glass of water that was put into this environment by nature or by God, depending on what you believe in. You'd never reach over and grab except unless you're Jeff Sharkey, grab a mug of tequila to quench your thirst. But that's what we do when we hand the sickest people OxyContin and oxycodone. We hand them not water to quench their thirst and make them better. We hand them tequila. We hand them a poison that doesn't do anything but make them worse and more miserable. Look, here's what we know about marijuana, a couple of things. Have you ever picked up the newspaper and heard of anybody overdosing on marijuana? Now, Hinklebout laughed himself dead one night, but other than one event, you will never have heard of anybody overdosing on marijuana. But you can pick up every paper in every city if you want to get back into the little print. And the people dying from Oxy, it's everywhere. And the people hooked on Oxy is everywhere. And the jails are filled with these people hooked on Oxy. The only reason Rush Limbaugh ain't in jail is that the color of justice in America is green and he had good lawyers. If he'd been just some kid, Rush would be, had a bum rush, be in jail. We know this for a fact. Big Pharma knows it works. You've heard of the pill. It's called Marinol. Marinol. They know that in their laboratories it works. And they're saying to us, forget the plant that's cheap. Forget the plant that's easy. Forget this thing that's been put in here into nature, just like God put aloe. Why'd God put aloe in this world? To take care of sunburns, I think. It works. But they say, look, wait till we can figure out how to do it in a little pill. And why do you want us to wait? So we can make money. And then we can just charge you out the ears. One pill is expensive. Van Cor told me today that he pays $10 for every Viagra that he has to buy. He's embarrassed to go to a doctor, so he has to. But these pills are expensive. So they're telling us, just wait until we figure out, and we can come in and we can charge more than Van Cor's Viagra. Let us charge $20 when it's free. We can grow it for free. And that's why we're waiting. They say that wait for us. Now, it's crazy. And when you hear it like this, when you first hear it, even if you came in here today thinking, I can't wait to hear what this liberal Democrat's gonna say about legalizing drugs. It's crazy. But one concession I do wanna make that I hear all the time from just nut jobs, but I want to concede their point. Legalizing this marijuana, it is a gateway drug. I know it's going to surprise you for me to admit this, that medical marijuana is a gateway drug. And the drug it's a gateway to is called morphine. Because that's where you go from here, folks. You ever had somebody in the hospital at the end with the morphine pump? The morphine pump is when the pain becomes so unbearable that we drip, 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 and you see your loved one screaming out in pain, and you scream to the nurse, get in here and give him some more morphine, and it's drip, 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 and before it's over, it's really just a fire hose to stop the pain. Medical marijuana is a gateway drug, but the next drug is morphine, because this is for the people who are the most hurt, who are the most injured, who are the most sick, who are the most in pain. And that's why we have to do this as a matter of compassion. So why me? Look, I have a law firm. We got 250 lawyers, and we're in a bunch of states. And like I said before, my brother got hurt when I was in, I didn't know what a personal injury lawyer was, but my brother got paralyzed, and I thought he got a raw deal. And I got pissed, and I knew that this was all I was ever gonna do, is be a personal injury lawyer. Because we were poor people who went to probably the wrong lawyer, and the big company was able to take advantage of that lawyer, and my brother, I don't think, got a fair end of the stick. So I've never done anything but this. I've never represented an insurance company. I didn't know Boss Hogg worked for the insurance industry. But I have never ever represented an insurance company. I won't. And look, I have other businesses. I have attractions and hotels, and I have a REIT and a mezzanine fund. I'm kind of a, I don't hunt and I don't fish, and you know, I'm a business guy. And so I have had some degree of success, and I've had some degree of money, and I've been able to do certain things with that money. My belief is this. I believe we're here, put on this earth. We have a duty to each other. I really firmly believe that. I believe that we're put here and we have a solemn duty to take care of each other, to protect each other. Woodrow Wilson said once, he said, if you know it, you can't sit still and do nothing. You have to do something. My belief system is real simple. I'm one of those people that don't believe I did all this, that I'm this guy who went out and built this great thing, that it's all me. I believe that because we were born in America, we got a leg up over the rest of the world. I believe that there's a genetic predisposition that makes us all different. I had a paper route when I was a little boy. Why did I have a paper route? Why was I that guy doing that? I don't know. Why are there lions and why are there sloths? I don't know. There's just different animals. Warren Buffett calls it the ovarian lottery. My dad lost every job known to man, and we left Kentucky and got to Florida. And by being in Florida in Winter Park, I got to go to great schools and meet people and be around successful people and hand out literature for Bill Gunner. I'll tell you how old I am. That'll really tell you how old he is. And then I got to go to University of Florida, where I rejected the drug sales of Dave Micah and focused on my grades and did not sell out to the tobacco industry later in life. I believe that luck has so much to do with everything we do. And all these smart people want to think it's all them. You go down a street and you're lost, and you go left, and all of a sudden, I guess he's a no on medical marijuana. Damn, screw you too, man. But anyway, you go left, and all of a sudden you're back on the interstate, and you got a great sense of direction. You go right, and you're lost for the rest of the day. I've built Marriott hotels that have been unbelievably successful. All those ones at UCF, unbelievably successful. I'm a genius. I bought one in Gulf Breeze. The bank took it back. I'm a dumbass. No, luck and timing. Bill Gates could not be Bill Gates if he was born today. I got to get in this advertising business when advertising on TV was taboo. The people who could, wouldn't, and the people who would, couldn't. And I had this opportunity to build this firm. I believe that being born in America, how we're built, where we go to school, pure luck, timing. And I believe, I'm sorry, like President Obama, it is not us. That the government and public schools and public transportation and student loans, I got news for all of you, and you can tell, I guess, I'm not ever running for office. We didn't do it on our own. A lot of other stuff came into it. And so if that's the case, then you have to ask yourself, then what am I supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to do something. You're supposed to come up here in life and take care of your fellow man and woman. For me, I don't have the money of Bill Gates. I wish I did. But for me, my philanthropy is kind of broken into three things. It's my churches that we belong to and where we live, what I call political philanthropy. I was a big Obama supporter, bundler, whatever you call it. The day after the election, one of the guys closest to him texted me and said, you're going to be getting a call, take it very seriously. And I got a call from Matthew Barzone and said, you know, we'd like you to apply to be an ambassador. And I said, Matthew, you're going to find this funny, but I never did this to be an ambassador, unless there's an ambassador at Kentucky. I said, I don't want to ever be shipped. I said, if you ever go to Europe, they can't make ice. They don't got air conditioners fixed. They don't got air conditioning down. And you got to kind of watch the CNN world and soccer. I said, I ain't going to do that. But for me, the Obama time was all about the Affordable Care Act, because I believe 30 million children should get up every day and be able to go to the doctor. I believe that's human dignity. I believe that somebody here today that all of a sudden gets cancer should be able to have that same insurance 2 years from now and not be cut off for no reason. I believe that's a matter of compassion. I believe that everybody, if you're poor, if you got a lump in your neck, you don't have to sit there and wait till it turns out to be stage 4 cancer. The whole Obama experience for me, which I call political philanthropy, was worth it. I didn't want to be an ambassador. The Health Care Act alone, and believe me, I got a lot more businesses than the people who are complaining about it. It's okay. I got enough. I'm going to be okay. And that's that philanthropy. And then the other one is what I call social philanthropy. Last year in Orlando, we built a new food bank, the Second Harvest Food Bank, and it's called the Morgan Hunger Relief Center. 250,000 children go to sleep hungry every night in Central Florida. So this is part of my, years ago, I was one of the guys that put the money up to raise the minimum wage from $5.15 to $6.15. And people were talking, the chamber crowd was talking to me like I was the second coming of I don't know what, that I wanted somebody to get an extra dollar to get up and do the right thing and make $6.15 an hour and make an example of their children. So this is part of my philanthropy. This, to me, if it passes, I'm going to probably spend a lot of money, but if it passes, a whole lot of people are going to be better off. I would tell you all this to do this if you ever want to examine yourself or your life. And a priest told me this one time. If you just want to see where you are in life, examine your checkbook and look at your calendar. And when you do that, you're going to be looking inside your soul. We are here for a short time, which brings me to our last question. Why not? Why constitutional amendment? The short answer is this. Our government is broken. We all know that. We all know that. Our politicians are not here to help their constituents. They're here to win and get reelected and make a lot of contacts and be Dean Cannon and walk around here like a preen peacock looking for clients after he's been speaker. These speakers come and go. Johnny Byrd was here. Remember him? He's the most arrogant guy that's ever come through the halls. When Dean Cannon came up here to be speaker, I helped him a lot in his life, in the things in his life. I said, the only advice I got is don't be like Johnny Byrd. He didn't listen. They come up here because it's about them. It's about winning. It's about destroying. Now, I'm not talking about Republicans. I'm talking about them both. They have forgotten what they're supposed to be here for. And so they're up here lobbying for us, the trial lawyers and labor and tobacco and oil and Disney and Publix and the powerless and the voiceless who are really counting on them get left behind because they got no money and they're forgotten. Think about this, Shane. The bill that was put before the Florida legislature could not even get testimony. Just let us come in, senators. Just let us come in, representatives, or what they call themselves. Congressmen, I ain't gonna do that. Just let us tell you what this is about. Just hear us out. No. No. What are you doing here? Getting some kind of special taxing district for Reedy Creek and Disney? The reason the politicians' popularity, and there is a silver lining here, The reason the popularity of politicians all over the country is down below anybody. The only good thing about it is lawyers used to be last. PI lawyers were below lawyers. And TV lawyers were like the worst of the worst. Thank God for politicians is all I can say. And people know it. We are up here and we watch all these laws be debated and nothing ever happens. I watch in amazement. I look at this immigration bill and there's these people fighting immigration. And listen, we all know what should happen. They should all get amnesty. They should all get in. We should start all over. We don't want to say that. The only reason I say it, not because they should jump in the front of the line. I don't like anybody to jump in the front of the line. And Maitland Junior High guy jumped in front of my line and I pushed his face and knocked his tooth out on the water fountain because I said, that ain't gonna happen here. I just got here from Kentucky. You're not gonna be getting in front of me in the room. I don't like it either, but look, you can't get oranges picked without it. I was at my house, I came home from New Hampshire, and all the toys were gone, so I decided to pull an orange off the tree to throw it for my dog to go get it. I about got carpal tunnel syndrome. Go wrench an orange off a tree. I mean, you'll be hospitalized. Go pick some strawberries. When I was a little boy, I had to go out and pick tobacco in Versailles, Kentucky. It's hard. If you want to tell all your friends and politicians how to fix immigration, just say either let them in or make it a third-degree felony. Make it a third-degree felony if you hire somebody to pick oranges and they're not here legally. You know why we're not going to do that? Because we don't want to fix it. We just want to act like we're mad about it. They talk about being public servants. Every time I hear these guys and girls run, say, I want to be a public servant. All kidding aside, Gunner was one. And there's some that are. I think this Gates is misguided, but I think he is sincere. I think Dan Webster was misguided, but I think he's sincere. There's a few of them. When I want to be a public servant, I want to serve the public. Then serve the public. Don't make John Morgan have to start spending money to go get signatures to do what you should do. Don't make John Morgan have to come to Tiger Bay and have testimony taken here at Tiger Bay. Have it over there at the Capitol. Just hear it. Public service from these people is not. It's ego. It's I want to be famous. Y'all need to read a book. Y'all need to read a book called This Town is in D.C. It's fabulous. You'll love it. But they talk about the Capitol, they have this Capitol correspondence thing where everybody comes and they basically call it, for the politicians in D.C., is kind of like the nerd's prom. You know, in America, it's like high school. You know, we have the athletes over here, and then we have the cheerleaders over here, the pretty ones, the movie stars, and then we kind of had the Brain Bowl crew, and then the student government, me and Micah, run around Blue Key. Out of breath, like the world was in the University of Florida. And so the politicians kind of became, they've got their own celebrity. And they became famous themselves. And look at America, look how messed up it is. You know it's messed up when politicians become such a celebrity that Henry Kissinger was considered a sex pot. You understand that? I mean, everybody wanted to date Henry Kissinger. Alan, the guy that married Andrea Mitchell. Greenspan, you know. These politicians are here for themselves, and that's why I'm here. Because they're not going to do the job for you. And we need to do the job for our neighbors. We got these politicians, these Elliot Spitzers who want to come back for public service. Andrew Weiner. You know he was a guy who just got his ass beat regularly in high school. I mean, if I could get that son of a bitch in a small room, I'd love just to beat the fire out of that guy. I'd like to beat the shit out of Newt Gingrich for my return. Let me end. In our lives, at the end of the day, and especially as we get closer to the end of the day, we were at our house up in New Hampshire and we went to church the other night. I think we're the only people under 60 at Mass. The closer we get to the end, the more we start looking for peace. And we get to parts of life and we're looking for peace. That's what we're working for. That's what we all want at the end. And I'm going to give you all the secret to peace. If you really want peace, it is service to others. This is a service to others. To go out and do for people. And by the way, it's going to be you you're going to be doing it for. Because the odds are what I'm talking about, these end-game illnesses, it's going to be you. You're going to have that thunderstrike day. Pancreatic cancer, emphysema, liver cancer, ALS, multiple sclerosis. You're going to have a child with epilepsy, and it could be your only hope. There is a prayer, and I'm not a religious person, but there's a prayer that I think is worth me repeating to you all, and it is called A Simple Path by Mother Teresa, and the prayer goes like this. The fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service. And the fruit of service is peace. We are all looking for that peace. I will promise you, the reason I'm doing it is I'm looking for that peace because I know that service will give me peace. And I know that the peace that I'm going to get from this service is going to give thousands of people who are hurt and sick and injured peace at the end of their lives. So, to close, until we meet again, may each of you enjoy God's peace. And remember, the journey is the reward for the people. Thank you.
Wow.
We will take questions from Tiger Bay members. We do not have a mic, so if you can say the question and I'll repeat it for the rest of the audience.
Truth is a defense, sir.
The governor elected next year will have a chance to appoint 5 members of the Florida Supreme Court in all likelihood, including the 5 who were perceived as most sympathetic to the trial bar. Florida has a history of ballot measures that are whose purpose is not to amend the Constitution, but to bring out a turnout of low information voters and others. What is your position? What are you sincerely supporting this, or are you trying to gin up the turnout for Charlie Crist?
Of course, I'm trying to gin up the turnout for Charlie Crist. What the hell kind of question? I mean, no, I want to smoke it myself, for God's sake. I mean, look, let me set this table for you. I'm married to a very conservative woman. I'm married to somebody when Obama won, she went to bed mad. I'm married to a very Catholic. Mother Teresa has nothing on Ultima Morgan. I'm married to a woman who has given 2 $10,000 checks to Rick Scott. I'm married to a woman who's dealing, I'm sorry, she is hot. So I I'm married to a woman who is working right now with the Chief Justice's wife on human trafficking, and we're spending a ton of money on human trafficking with this Polston's wife, who's a saint on earth, by the way. I've not met her, but Ultima says she has. My wife's Republican. We don't hardly agree on anything politically, but we agree on this because it's an act of compassion. To answer your question, because I was curious about it, is David Seamus, who's a good friend of mine, is kind of the Obama brain guy, did a little sampling about it. And I asked him, because I'm not naive. I said, do you think it would help? And he said it would not help in turnout for legal medical marijuana. And which did, in all candor, surprise me. So I don't think it's this. Before I started this, I've never asked Charlie what his position on it is. And so that was not my goal. It was the second Harvest Food Bank last year. It was minimum wage a year before that. One year it was water and houses in the Dominican. You only have so much money and so much time, and so.
What exactly does the constitutional amendment say?
It's very tight. John Mills, I think a lot of you all know him and respect him. We did a lot of focus groups. It basically lays out the type of injuries, and we lay it out specifically. In California, psychologists can prescribe it. Only medical doctors. To this guy's question, only a medical aid over 21 can be there. It's going to be regulated by the state. Everything would happen through the state. It's going to be, I think, the model for the country. And that's after, because Florida is, this man is right. Florida's, I don't know where the opium dens are. I don't know where that came from. I don't know what that means. I just know that when you read our language, it's very tight, it's very regulated, and it's going to be for those who need it the most.
In 1995, I had the pleasure of working for Haley Barbour, who became governor of Mississippi when he was the chairman of the Republican National Committee. And I just wanted to ask the question, were you separated at birth?
Yes, Haley Barbour. First of all, I love Haley Barbour. Haley Barbour, this is a great Haley Barbour story. I own, Sharky knows this, I own the Margaritaville Casino in Biloxi with Jimmy Buffett and some other people. Haley Barbour, we're very thankful to Haley Barbour because he's getting the road we want put in next to our casino. So I have a picture of Jesus and then I have a picture of Haley Barbour. But I love Haley Barbour. The best Haley Barbour story, this is when you knew he was going to be something. He was Ole Miss or Mississippi State, wherever he went.
Ole Miss.
He goes, all of a sudden he's with a bunch of people, and all of a sudden over the PA system, like, Haley Barbour, please report to the president's box, Haley Barbour. It came out later that he paid one of his friends to have that thing come over there.
Thank you very much, and we hopefully will see you August 21st for Congressman Steve Sutherland.
You've been listening to a delayed broadcast of the August 1st, 2013 luncheon meeting of the Capital Tiger Bay Club on WFSU-FM.